as many of you know, Pastor Jay is leading us through a sermon series on Philippians, but he's out of town, and so we're not doing Philippians today. He will be back next week. And this week, he said, you know, he gave me a choice of whatever I wanted to do. And I decided that it's a good time to start Mission Month. Mission Month isn't till August, okay? But you can never have too much mission, right? So think of this as the first in a series of two messages for the beginning of Mission Month. And the next part two of this sermon will be given 1 month from now in the first Sunday of August. I remember many, many years ago when I was a boy, and that would have been way back in the last century, I was a Boy Scout, and to this day, I still kind of remember the Boy Scout oath. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help others at all times, to keep myself physically fit, mentally awake, and morally straight. Notice the word God in that, to do my duty to God and my country. We see the word God frequently in our culture today. We see it all around us in America. On our money, it says, in God we trust. We sing, God bless America. And in the Pledge of Allegiance to one God, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one God, one nation under God. But all too often nowadays, the word God has lost its meaning. People say it in a non-reverential way. They just throw it out like, oh God, can you believe what she did? Or, oh God, you won't believe the day that I had. It's just another word in our vocabulary nowadays. We use it, a lot of us, hopefully none of us here, but in our culture, we use God, the word God, indiscriminately. I was reading not too long ago in a book called How Not to Be Secular by James K.A. Smith, and he made this observation. He said that, go back to the year 1500, and if you ask people in Europe or the colonies in North America, are you a Christian? They'd say yes. Now, the depth of their Christianity may not be perhaps as deep as we would like it to be, but it was just a cultural thing. Everybody would say that they were a Christian. Everybody went to church on Sunday. They celebrated Christmas and Easter. It was just part of the fabric of the culture. Today, it's not that way. Today, if you ask somebody if they're a Christian, some people will say yes just because culturally that's what they think they're supposed to do. A lot of people will tell you that they don't believe in God. They'll tell you that they're an atheist, or they'll tell you that, well, you know what? Jesus was just a good teacher, and I don't believe that he's who everybody says that he is. Well, that's not exactly the way that it should be. People should know the real God. People should know the real Jesus. People should respond to the real Holy Spirit and not to the way that culture is. We need to, pardon the expression, get back to the Bible. And the Bible tells us that we are to be prepared to tell people about Jesus Christ, to preach the good news. As the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. I remember my grandmother used to say, you should always wear clean underwear because you never know when you're going to go to the emergency room. We are to be ready to tell people about Jesus in season and out of season. And our Bible passage for today comes from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are your people, and we know that you want us to tell people about you. We pray that you will prepare us to do so. We pray that our lives would be totally surrendered to you, and as such, we can go forth and tell others the truth of the gospel. And we pray this, dear Jesus, in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. So this passage begins with a charge. Paul says to Timothy that, I charge you. He gives him a charge. And what is a charge? A charge, you're telling somebody what you want them to do. You're telling them that this is what you are supposed to do. And as Paul is telling this to Timothy, he's saying, you know, this isn't just my charge. This is a charge that comes from God and from Jesus. And Jesus is the judge of all mankind. We have a charge. And I know that you can look at this and you can say, well, you know what? Paul was writing to Timothy, and that's fine, but what does that have to do with me? Well, actually, it's God's word to us, and so we should pay attention to it. And we have a charge, and that charge is, in fact, the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. It was never a secret. When Jesus' ministry, it was never a secret that he wanted us to go out. When he first calls his first disciples, what does he say? He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then later, at the end of his ministry here on earth, he gives the Great Commission. It's a commission to each and every one of us. And just as Timothy was commissioned, so are we commissioned to go out and to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we're to do it in season and out of season. It's when he puts the opportunity before us. That is when we are to be ready to tell the people about Jesus Christ. It's a time often not of our own choosing, but here again, we are to be ready in season and out of season. And he says several things here. He says to go out and to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort and have complete patience and do complete teaching. To reprove means to admonish. It means to tell others. To tell others that there is a different and better way to their lives. And that better way for their lives is the Christian way of life. But we have to be careful that if we go out and we tell people that there's a better way to lead their lives, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, well, how about the way that you lead your life? And we're warned in Scripture about things like gossiping. We need to avoid things like that. We need to avoid anything that would damage the message that we are given, damage the commission that we are given to spread the word of Jesus Christ, to spread the gospel. And so we don't want to do things like gossip tell dirty stories, things like that. No, we want to live a Christian life. And therefore, when we do tell people, when we do give them a word of reproof, they can take it seriously and they'll know that we are living what we say. And we're to show rebuke. We're to rebuke. And that means that we show disapproval. That we don't go along with the things of the world. We don't go along with the things that we know that Christ is against. We maintain the course. We're steady. We're consistent. And here again, people look at us and they go, who are you to tell me? And we need to be in a position that we will be believable when we tell them, well, it's not actually us telling you, it's the Lord telling you. And we need to make sure that we are prepared to do this by the way we lead our lives in season and out of season. And here's the big one for me. It is, we're to exhort. And when I saw that, and I thought, well, you know, how am I going to explain this? And the first word that came to me was the word adjure. And I realized that if I said that, nobody would know what I was talking about. So exhort means to tell somebody emphatically, to have passion. And to have passion doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to yell and shout at somebody, but it means that you actually believe in what you're saying, that you're willing to be there, you're willing to stand up, and you're willing to take a little abuse if that's what it comes to. And there's a thing that tends to be a problem among a great deal of evangelical Christians, and that is that we want to hide behind what are the supposed words of St. Francis of Assisi, where he says, go out and do good deeds, preach through the deeds that you do, and if necessary, use words. He never said that. Okay, that's complete bunk. He didn't say that. And the Franciscans, which is the Catholic organization that named itself after him and follows his teachings, they will tell you he never said that. And it's not even biblical. We're to do good deeds. We're to do good works. That is true. But everything that we do needs to point towards Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't point towards Jesus Christ, then it's really not a good work. And I get that lecture all the time from my friend Jerry Dunlap, who tells me, you can do all the good works you want, but unless Jesus Christ is praised, it does not count. And Jerry Dunlap is right, okay? His mother brought him up right. This is something that's been adopted by a lot of people about good works, and you know, our good works will speak for themselves, not biblical. The saying is actually, preach the gospel at all times and use words to explain what you do. Okay? So it's not about doing good works. Now, the Bible tells us that our works are a fruit of our faith, that they're a fruit that from the Holy Spirit, it's a demonstration of our faith. But here's what the Bible says about preaching. And this comes from Romans, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 14 and going through 17. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We are to tell people about Jesus. We don't just demonstrate it, because if we demonstrate it, they don't know why. They don't know why we do it. We can feed people. But you know what? There's a lot of secular organizations that do the same thing. We can hand out clothes, but there's a lot of secular organizations that do the same thing. There are a lot of things that we do, and we do them because we are Christian, but other people will never know unless they're told. Now, I'm not in favor of hitting somebody upside the head with a Bible. That's going a little too far, usually. Come on, y'all have children, okay? But people do need to be told what we're doing. And they need to be told the complete story. Not something that we make up to excuse ourselves, but they need to be told the whole story. And he says that Paul, in talking to Timothy, says we're to do this with complete patience and teaching. And my interpretation of that is we're to do it with complete patience and complete teaching. I'll tell you a story. Back many years ago, actually it was 13 years ago, I took a friend out to look at Christmas lights. It was December. It was a great setting. It was cold. It was snowy.
it was just, you know, exactly what you how you would want Christmas to be pictured. And we drove around Reno and we looked at Christmas lights and had a really good time. And then we came back and we went out and we had dessert. And my friend is from a foreign country. She was here doing research at the University of Nevada. And I told her, I said, you know, we went and we saw a lot of really nice things. We saw Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We saw Mickey Mouse, all sorts of really great things. But that's not what Christmas is about. What we didn't see was a manger scene. And we started talking about that. And she pointed out to me, she said, yes, you know, the mother of Jesus was not married. I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, and she had a child, Jesus, and it wasn't even by her fiancé. And I'm like, oh, last time I ever tell about Jesus. And I'm thinking, you know, I need to get out of this somehow. And I kept thinking, well, you can't. You've got to tell. You've got to go ahead and tell. I'm like, I can't. And why can't I tell this person about the virgin birth? The reason that I cannot tell this person about the virgin birth is she's a doctor, okay? That's a tough sell. I mean, you just... But I just felt that it was something that I needed to do. And I know that Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, He will provide the right words at the right time. And so I went ahead and I told her about the virgin birth and what it means and all this stuff. And she used to come to Covenant. She came to Covenant for like about a year and a half. And eventually she went back to her own country. And I've talked to her since then. And we've kind of stayed in contact. And a while back, I started talking to her about Jesus again. And she told me, she said, and I quote, "My religion is communism." But that's not the whole story. You see, my friend had another friend who is also a doctor. And this other friend is actually a pretty sharp lady. As a matter of fact, she's one of these people that collects academic degrees like they're so easy. And she actually goes internationally and gives lectures. And my first friend told this other lady, her friend, about things that I'd been saying about the virgin birth. And she brings her friend to me. And it's like, oh, great, we're going to go through this again. Her friend comes with me to church and comes to church throughout the summer, throughout the year, actually, for a year, and she becomes a Christian. And I will tell you that 13 years later, every week, she and I get together over the phone because she's in another country. We get together and we pray together. And she prays for you. Okay? And I asked her one day, I said, what is your conversion story? How did you come to Christ? And she said, when I walked in the door at Covenant, I knew there was something different, and it was the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking to myself, don't I get any credit for this? And the answer is, no. Conversion is an act of the Holy Spirit. And let me point something out to you when it comes to complete patience and complete teaching. Our patience is in the Lord. Our patience is that He will do that which He said He will do. And the complete teaching is to tell the whole story. Don't be shy. It may sound strange at times. And Scripture says that to some, it'll sound like idiocy. It'll just be confusion. But it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to Christ. It's not us. He works through us. And we should always be ready in season and out of season to let the Holy Spirit work through us. But it's not us that brings people to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. And we are to have patience with God. and we are to tell the whole story. And we know that Scripture tells us His word will not return void. So even though you may think that you're butting your head against a wall when you bear witness to Jesus Christ, please know that, first of all, Jesus knows what you're doing because He's having you do it. And secondly, His purpose is going to be attained. We have challenges as we go forward and we tell people about Jesus. And the Scripture tells us that there's going to be those who turn away, that you know, their ears are tickled, their imagination is excited, and they're going to look in this direction, and they're going to look in that direction, and they're going to just be all over the place. A rhetorical question for you. And rhetorical question means, I'll ask the question, I'll also give you the answer, but if you really want to give the answer, you can just shout it out or raise your hand or whatever. What and when was the first sin? And you're all sitting there going, this is a trick question. Yes, it is. The first sin was when Satan turned away from God, when Satan rebelled against God. Not to be confused with the first sin of mankind, which was the Garden of Eden. But here's what happened was Satan rebelled against God. And you may have heard it said, there are only two religions. There's Christianity and there's everything else. Christianity is led by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Everything else is led by the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub, Satan, whatever you want to call him. If it's not Christianity, then it's a false religion. It's not really a religion, the true religion. And one of the things that we have to be aware of, something that we need to be very sensitive to, is what is paraded under the banner of Christianity. We, in our culture, we encounter people that say that they have a word from God, that God gave them a message. We have people that say, God gave me new scripture, and they write it and publish it. We have people who say that they're prophets, and they get a lot of money for it. Sometimes the worst enemies of Christianity are those who claim to be Christians themselves. We need to stay within the bounds of orthodoxy, and the bounds of orthodoxy are contained within the pages of the Holy Bible. That is what we are to teach, and we are to be ready in season and out of season. And when somebody comes and starts to tell us differently, then we need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We need to set people on the right path. That is the commission that we are given. The Great Commission is to tell people the truth about Jesus Christ. It's a challenge that we face, and oftentimes we're not patient. And what happens when we're not patient is that we allow false teaching to go unchecked, and we ourselves need to check ourselves. We need to remember that we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what it says in the Bible. We are ambassadors for Christ. And as you know, an ambassador represents their sovereign. They don't represent themselves. We are ambassadors for Christ. We must always proclaim the truth in season and out of season. And 2 Corinthians 5th chapter verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And that reconciled to God is really, really important. That's one of the reasons why we confess our sins, that we have the prayer of confession, is so that we ourselves are reconciled to God, that we know when we have gone astray, and it's a plea from us to God to bring us back on the right track, because we always want to be ready in season and out of season, and we don't want to be in a position where we have to make apologies for what we believe. Like, well, you know, you say that that we shouldn't do this, but I know you're doing this over here. No, we need to examine our lives, and therefore we are ready to tell people about Jesus in season and out of season. Not always easy. Not always easy. And that's one of the reasons why we come to church, because we have this fellowship. We talk to each other. We build each other up. We bear one another's burdens. This is what a church does. And this is why I love it here, is because we have people that are not continually putting me down, although you have good reason to. We stand together. We stand united for Christ. And we must always do that. So what we get out of our scripture reading this morning is that we are to be ready to give an accounting for our faith. And in doing so, we are to be prepared to do it. And we're prepared to do it as we worship the Lord, as we confess our sins. We're prepared to do it as we study scripture. We're prepared to do it as we come together in fellowship, and we tell each other how much we love each other. That's important, you know, is to tell each other how much we love each other. We're to always be ready to do this. We're always to be prepared. We're always to be ready to give an account of our faith in season and out of season. And the season is now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you knowing that you have commissioned us to go out into the world and tell others the good news. We pray that as we do so, it will be received as good news. We know that some of us will have to suffer in various ways for our faith. We'll be turned away by our families, by our friends. We know that the world out there does not give its allegiance to you, but we do give our allegiance to you. And we pray that you would build us up and make us your people now and forever. And we pray this, dear Jesus, in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And now as we prepare for communion, because this is Communion Sunday, let's stand and together sing our hymn of preparation, number 465, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving God, Lord.